All right, so if you are new with us this morning, the last 4 weeks or so, we've been in a series on the Apostles' Creed, and so we'll start a little bit different than we normally start. So we will say the creed here in a moment, then I'll read Scripture and pray. But if you've not been with us, we've been walking through the Apostles' Creed kind of sentence by sentence or multiple sentences at a time, and we've been walking through what this means for our head, our heart, and our hands, and we'll do that this morning, but just want to kind of explain for a moment what the creed is. So the Apostles' Creed is an ancient statement of our faith. It's primarily been used in the faith to prepare new believers for baptism. And so you'll see that show up in our baptism liturgy or when we have members welcome to the church. Those are the times you typically hear it and see it. But our hearts in preparing this series was really to just spend some time talking as a church about what it means for us to believe something and then what it means to live that out, right? And so you've all heard me say this before, but what we believe is actually not best expressed in what we say, but it's best expressed in what we do. And so our hearts in this series has been to say, okay, what is it we believe? How does that then affect our head, our heart, and then what does that cause us to do with our hands? And so we're going to do that again this morning. And so I will be preaching specifically on the line, I believe in the Holy Spirit. And so we'll read the creed together here, and then I will read Scripture and pray, and then kind of begin the sermon from there. So let's read this together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Amen. And our gospel passage this morning comes from the book of John, chapter 14. I'll pop it up here. Verses 15 through 17. So if you have a church Bible or your own Bible, you can turn there and read along with me. And I'm actually reading to verse 27. So sorry about that there. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. And then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show us yourself and not to the world? And Jesus replied, Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I've spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. This is the word of the Lord. And let's pray. Good and gracious God, thank you for the opportunity to gather together, to read your word, to sing together, to pray together, to call on you, and for the fact that we know you'll meet us here. God, I just pray that in this time of digging into your word, that we would be refreshed by the words of your Son, Jesus, that we would have a new perspective on the Holy Spirit and its work in our lives, and that, Lord, we would leave changed. And in order to do that, God, I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would give us a posture of openness, a willingness to learn and grow, and a willingness to hear from you this morning. So in this moment, God, I pray that I would decrease and you would increase, and that your peace would rest and abound. And Lord, as always, we pray for our kids as they are hearing the gospel and seeds of the gospel are being planted in them, as they are being taught to know you and to pray to you, God, that you would be doing a work there in their hearts as well. For those in our body that are sick, Lord, we feel that. We miss them, and we pray that you would heal them and return them to us. And God, for our men who are away on retreat, we pray, God, that they've been reminded, as hopefully you will remind us, that they are so deeply loved by you and deserve times of rest and refreshment together and in your word. And would you bring them back to us safely, Lord? And God, we just ask again that you would remind us, make us more aware of the ways in which you're present with us in this moment and in our lives. And we ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So, suspend judgment. Suspend judgment. These are words that I heard a few months ago when listening to a podcast. It was done by the people who do TED Talks, and I think it's called TEDx Anonymous. That's not really important, but you can hear the voices, you can hear the story of a person, but the person is anonymous. You never hear their name. And so before you enter into the story, the host of the podcast asks you to suspend judgment, to not try to figure out who the person is, but just to listen, just be engaged with the story. And this morning I want to ask you to consider suspending judgment as it relates to the Holy Spirit. Now, what I'm not asking you to do is to not think. So I'm not saying don't think. I want you to think deeply. I'm not asking you to not feel. I would love for you to feel deeply. But what I am asking you to do is, for a moment, consider all the preconceived thoughts and notions and ideas that come when we even say, I believe in the Holy Spirit, and perhaps set them to the side so that we can enter into this story. So that we can enter into the story with Jesus and hear what Jesus would have to say to us about the Holy Spirit. Because the reality is, our belief is probably all over the board this morning. When we say the statement, I believe in, we might be in a place where we would say something like, I believe it's going to rain because it's cloudy. Like, more or less, I think that to be the case. The other end of belief is like, I believe in the power of this parachute to deploy when I pull the string, so I'm willing to jump out of this plane. And wherever you are on that spectrum of belief this morning, whether you would say, like, I believe the Holy Spirit exists, I've heard it in the Bible, we sung about it a lot, so I can start to think that that's a real thing. Or if you're on the other end saying, I believe the Holy Spirit exists and I'm ready to jump off this plane, go with God wherever it takes me, I know the parachute's going to launch, I trust it. Or anywhere in between, I just want to ask you this morning for a few moments to just suspend judgment and just enter the story, enter in to what Jesus is saying to us. And so the big idea this morning is this, that the Holy Spirit is the presence of God and the power of God in the life of the Christ follower. The Holy Spirit is the presence of God and the power of God in the life of the Christ follower. And so in other words, when we say, I believe in the Holy Spirit, what we're saying is we're declaring and we're putting our trust in what Jesus said. We're putting our trust in the passage this morning where Jesus says, I'm going to come and I'm going to dwell with you. And I'm going to send an advocate, a helper, the Holy Spirit, the power that you need to be in the world. Another way to say it is that God desires to work in us and God desires to work through us. Right? And so it's primarily about our posture. What's happening here and what's happening here? And that's the big idea this morning. And so the head application then would be this, that we believe in the Holy Spirit is our declaration that God is still alive and He is still active in the world and He's with us. And that is good news. And so let's step into the story for a moment. So imagine that you're one of the disciples with Jesus. And in the story, the context of what I read today, this passage comes after they've seen a bunch of miracles. They've seen Jesus heal. They've seen Him teach. They've seen the crowds press in on Him. They know that He's this incredible man. And now He's demonstrating what an incredible friend and companion He is as they're having dinner together. They're having what we call the Last Supper. Then He's washing their feet. And then He says some strange things like, oh, someone's going to betray me. And then someone's going to deny me. And so then they start asking questions like, well, God, where are you going? And how do we get there? And these are good questions. We're still asking those questions, probably, some of us. And that's the backdrop of which Jesus drops this passage, right? Into their feelings of possibly abandonment, possibly feeling very alone, unsure. In that context, Jesus drops this knowledge about the Holy Spirit that I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you and I will make my home with you. And so what Jesus is saying to them in that moment is the same thing I want to say to you in this moment, is that to believe in the Holy Spirit is to trust that when Jesus says, I will not leave you alone, He means it. And when He says, I will make my dwelling with you, He means that. And that means that we're not alone. And the very presence of God lives on the inside of us. And the product of that, Jesus says, is peace. Otherworldly peace. And that is available to you. Friends, that is good news. Certainly it was good news for them. It's good news for us. But it's really a hard reality to live in. I'm certain it was hard for the disciples to hear. It's possibly hard for us to hear. It's hard for me to hear a lot of the time that I'm not alone. And part of the reason that it's hard for us, because we are challenged by the idea of presence. And I think there's two big things about the presence of God in our lives that we struggle with. And the first is our own belief. Our own belief. Many of us struggle to believe that God actually wants to be with us, dwell in us, and will never leave us. We struggle to believe that. I know I do. Many of us struggle with this belief that when we mess up or when we sin or when we do something to fracture a relationship or a situation's going bad, that God is somehow absent, that He's no longer present. Because the world around us feels chaotic and our lives feel chaotic, we think that means that God has gone. And I just want to say to you this morning, that's just not true. But most of us live that way. Most of us believe that way. I'm going to do some illustrating here. I did this little exercise in counseling a few months ago. And my counselor asked me to take my paper and divide it up into two. You can do this exercise. And she said, on the top, draw for me how you feel about God and your relationship with God when things are going well. Where are you and where are God? And so I drew, like, I'm terrible at drawing, sorry, but I drew something like this, like, we are good, right? We are even touching. Maybe closer sometimes, but at a minimum, when things are going well, God and I are there. We're journeying together. And then she said, now draw on the bottom what you think or feel when you've sinned or when things are not going well. And so I'm going to admit all my stuff this morning. This is in my pride. I drew this. I was like, oh, it's the same. It's totally fine. Everything's good. And then she said, then what's the problem? And I was like, what? And so she says, you don't actually believe that. Draw it again. And so I draw it again. And this time it's like you can like, okay, we moved apart and we're like not looking at each other anymore. Right? This is the reality that I live in a lot of the time. And I would imagine some of you all live in that reality too. We think that when we sin that God sort of at a minimum turns away. And at the farthest end of the spectrum, we believe He just leaves altogether like, oh, God's not even in the picture. And I just want to say to you this morning that it's not true. That's just not true. And if we live that way, then we will struggle to understand, we will struggle to see the presence of God in our lives. And that will be a challenge for us. So this is our mind, but that's not our reality. Because the reality is that what Jesus said is, I will not leave you as orphans. Paul says something in Romans 8 that I also found relevant to this Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. That would dispute that way of believing, right? And I would encourage you to read the rest of the passage because he does a great job of talking about what it looks like then to live in the Spirit. But he comes back to it in verse 14 and says this, and I want to read this over us today and hope it's comfort for us. Verse 14 says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." Amen. We are God's children. And just let's understand here for a moment. If we're open to letting the Holy Spirit explore what we believe and what's in our hearts, we might find that while we love what this verse is saying, we would even say amen, we believe it to be true, we want it to be true, we're living in a different light. We're living on the bottom and not on the top. Whether it's because our own relationships aren't quite working out the way we thought they would, maybe our relationship with our parents wasn't great, maybe we haven't experienced or seen an example of a relationship that never ends, that never leaves. And I just want us to understand that if we're in Christ, that we have received the Spirit of God, we are the children of God, and He is the perfect Father. Right? He is the perfect Father. So whatever our image of Father is, He is the perfect Father. Friends, we do not serve a come and go God. We do not serve a God who loves conditionally or circumstantially. We do not serve a God who loves us and wants to be with and around us when things are going great. No, we serve a God who says, "I will not leave you. I'm coming to you. I'm coming after you. And I'm going to make my home with you." Amen. And that is really good news. And so wherever you are this morning, and wherever you feel like God is, I just want you to understand that if you are a follower of Christ, if by grace through faith you have been saved, you have believed, then God is with you. Whether you feel like it or not, God is with you. If you're not a follower of Jesus this morning, I would say this to you. The presence of God in your life is available, and all that is needed is faith. That the God of creation, who sent His Son Jesus to die for your sin as a demonstration of His perfect love, desires, wants to make His home in you. But we need to be reminded of that pretty constantly. The second challenge to our ability of understanding the presence of God in our lives, I believe, is our culture. Our culture. The world we live in 2019 and the culture around us has the majority of us, and I'm including myself in this camp, conditioned for false connection. I would venture to say we are probably the most connected that we've ever been, and yet we are the most disconnected. We are surrounded by people, and yet we feel alone. The presence of things like social media, our access to technology, our ability to get anybody in a second has us trading false senses of connection for real senses of connection. And it's distorting the ways in which we relate to each other, and it distorts the way in which we relate to God. I'm sure the disciples struggled when Jesus said He was leaving in their own right and sending someone else. But they understood presence, right? They were right there with Him. So how much harder for us is it to understand? Because He has not just washed our feet. He has not just fed us from His hands and handed us a cup to drink from. And then add into that that we don't believe the appropriate things about Him. And then add into that that we're conditioned for disconnection. This gets really tricky. And so this cultural conditioning, I believe, it starts to damage our souls. This distortion of presence becomes challenging for us to experience and acknowledge that the presence of God is in our lives, because we don't really know what it means to be connected. I wonder if we're willing this morning to look inward and see that in our own lives. I wonder if we're willing to acknowledge that, yeah, maybe we don't understand what it means to be connected. Maybe we're not as present as we think we are with one another. And certainly not as present as we think we are with God. So what do we do with this? I believe that we have to adjust our posture. We have to do some shifting in our posture. We have to become more aware of the presence of God in our lives. We have to become more aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit in which we're placing our belief and our trust. And so I brought another little prop this morning. I don't know, we're on the verge of being a people who don't know what this is anymore, but this is an antenna for a TV. These actually used to be connected to TVs, believe it or not. And there's a whole generation of people who will never know that. This was connected to the TV. It's really sad. But these were connected to TVs, and these would help you, like, get a signal, right? And so you're trying to watch your favorite show or something really good is on the news that you want to see, and then it starts to kind of cut out. And so what do? Whoever is the goat has to go run and adjust it, right? And you start messing with it, and you hold it, and you might do this, and you might put it like really close to the window, and then you get it, and you do not move. You do not move. Or if you just really have a bad one, you like go get some foil, add that on the end. I don't know if you've ever done that, but the idea here with this illustration, not that it's just kind of funny, is that this antenna actually has everything it needs inside of it to clear up the picture, right? It might need to be shifted and adjusted a little bit, but I don't have to add anything to it or take anything away from it. It's got the stuff to make the picture clear, but it may need some adjusting, right? So when I say to you, you have the Spirit of God in you, if you're a child of God, go with me there to that place and say, I have the stuff in me, but I might need a little adjusting. Amen. Right? And am I willing to be adjusted? So that the picture of God in me can be a picture of God for the world. Amen. Am I willing to adjust my posture? What would happen, friends, if we started opening our lives and saying, I'm willing, God, to be adjusted to a posture that acknowledges the way you're at work in me? What would it look like to have a posture that says, I'm willing to acknowledge the way you want to work through me? What do we need to shift today? I believe we need rhythms in our life that will constantly remind us of the truth of God's presence. Rhythms that will constantly rewire us, reframe us, give us new tapes. Because I don't know about you, but for me, this is like an every moment of everyday thing I need to be reminded. So one thing I want to suggest is just being really practical is worship, right? Singing. Worship. Now, it's not the only way. But I believe worship has a powerful way of shifting our verbal language, which will begin to shift our heart language. Friends, maybe you're able to sing Hallelujah, I'm Not Alone. Or maybe you're not ready to sing that, right? Maybe you're just ready to hear that sung over you. But something happens on the inside of me when I begin to declare the truth of God's word, Hallelujah, I'm not alone. Even the physical posture of our worship, right? Maybe it's open hands. Maybe it's lifting our hands. Maybe it's clapping. These are all physical manifestations of inward realities, right? If we're willing, if we're open to say, maybe I just need to be here. Or maybe I'm here. Maybe I'm here. Maybe I'm here, right? Wherever you are, though, consider what it would look like to adjust your posture, not just physically, but on the inside. So the question is, what could God do in us? What could God do in us right now, today, that could change the way that we are present to ourselves, to God, and to those around us? What could God do? Here's what I think. Here's what I think would happen if we began to shift here in our minds, and we started shifting here, we'll live in the comfort and peace of knowing we're never alone. God at work in the world and in us means we're not alone. When our hearts start singing that song, when our lives start living that song, friends, that's good news. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of things I've got to shift in my heart daily. This is tops. I've got to be reminded daily that I'm not alone, that the Spirit of God dwells in me. It will never leave me. That's comforting. This comfort is the peace that surpasses our understanding of everything around us. And it is a peace that the world cannot offer us. Jesus said that, not me. The Holy Spirit is our constant reminder that we are not alone. Amen. And our hearts need to sing that song. And when that sinks in, when this posture starts changing, then I think this posture starts changing. We can't get to the hands application until we're here and we're here, right? We cannot give to the world something we don't have. But we do have the presence of God dwelling in us. And so here's the hands application. When we acknowledge in our minds and in our hearts that God's still active in the world and in us, we're present to those around us, and we're the hands and feet of Jesus in the world. For my more note-taking friendly version is here. We have the power of Christ living in us to be the hands and feet of Jesus to our world. Friends, that is good news. When it fully sinks into us that God is present with us, desires to be present with us, will never leave us, we will be present to those around us in a radically different way. We will be a living witness to the power of God at work in us, and we will be the active agents of God in this world. And I understand saying something like the hands and feet of Jesus is like really catchy Christianese jargon. So let me not be ambiguous. What I want to be crystal clear about is this. We have the power of God living in us. So we can live like Jesus lived. And we can love like Jesus loved. We don't read the Gospels. We don't read the stories of Jesus and say, cool story, bro. That was good for you. We read the Gospels. We read Jesus. And we look to them to say, where do I go? And what do I do? And how can I be? What does it look like to truly follow Jesus to the places He went? To be with the kinds of people that Jesus was with? To love in the way Jesus loved. Matthew 25 through 40 says it this way. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, you did it to me. Jesus spent so much time with the disciples, discipling them, showing them, living it out in front of them, what it looks like to be in our world with a posture of love, with a posture of grace, humility, right? Washing their feet, mercy, justice. And that same God lives on the inside of me, lives on the inside of you. That power is at work in your life. And if we adjust our posture to understand that presence, then we can move out in that presence. We've got to recognize that God wants to work in us, yes, but God also wants to work through us. Yeah. Friends, our world needs Jesus. Let's be honest. We need Jesus. Our world needs Jesus. Yeah, it does. You can look far in the distance, or you can look right outside the door, and brokenness abounds. And I'm not talking about only physical poverty. Friends, there is a spiritual poverty that is prevalent in our culture and in us. And it needs Jesus. The systems of our world continue to seek power and continue to oppress. Hunger is still an issue in our world. Clean water is not accessible to everyone in our world or even in our country. Wars are still ravaging homes, villages, countries, nations. In America, it appears that nationalism is ruling the day and devotion to country is trumping devotion to God. And friends, Jesus is calling us to be a clear witness to His love in this world. The question is, do we believe it enough to go? Because our world needs Jesus. Not self-help Jesus. Not my best life Jesus. Not muscle up, do it on your own Jesus. Strive and toil and figure it out. Our world needs the Jesus that says, I'm coming to make my home in you. And you're going to have an advocate. You're going to have a helper. The Holy Spirit, the power of God is going to live inside of you. And our world needs to see a people that are transformed by the love of God, who are willing to be transformed by the presence of God, and then willing to go into the world and offer the same love and offer the same presence. Even when we don't know what to do, just to show up and say, I'm just going to be here. Our world needs to see that. That's the Jesus our world needs to see. I'm going to close this morning by getting back into the story. And I just want to invite you to practice this shifting of posture. So if you're comfortable with it, I would just invite you for a moment just to kind of shift. Even the way you're sitting in your seat, maybe sit up, maybe close your eyes, maybe even open your hands, if you're willing. And just for a moment, let's be with the disciples. Let's be one of the disciples. In this moment, I imagine there was a feeling of loneliness. My friend's going to leave. A relationship is ending. An expectation is not met. Feel that sorrow. Feel the uncertainty of that moment. And then think about where you might be feeling that in your own life. Where your relationships aren't working out the way you thought they would. Where you feel lonely. Where your expectations are not met. And then hear the words of Jesus in that moment. I will not leave you alone as orphans. I will make my home with you. And let's pray. God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would you seal that truth in our hearts and minds that if we are in you, that we are never, ever, ever alone. And God, I believe this morning that you've begun a work. Would you continue it? And where you've whispered truth to someone, would you amplify it? And would you be with us in every moment of every day that we start to doubt? And would you speak into all of our fear and all of our anxiety and all of our loneliness and remind us that you will never leave us alone? That's your promise to us, God. And we cling to that this morning. We cling to that. We need you. I need you. Would you do that work in us, God, by the power of your Spirit? In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.